hatred, blame, just so many things. Some people are in such isolation and depression, it's taken a hold, and for many, I think a bleak hopelessness has really settled in. But I've sure got some good news for you today. But this good news isn't for just us in this room to receive, or just those that are watching online. It's for each of us to share with others as well. What I want to share today is our God of hope. Our God of hope. Again, I don't want to just talk about him. I want us to delve into some things and then experience who this God of hope really is. Hope is a really frequent theme in the Word of God. The word itself, hope, it's found about 130 times. But I do want to clarify this. As I speak of biblical hope, I'm not speaking of twinkle, twinkle, or how I wish upon a star. Not that kind of hope. I get it. No, not at all. But I'm speaking on a hope that rests on the solid foundation of God's Word. Word that is backed up by his character. I did not share with Mary Helen what I was preaching this morning, but when she talked about the unchangeableness of God and who he is, those dimensions of Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah, all those other Jehovah titles that attach, it's the Word of God is backed up by the character of our never-changing God. Can I get one witness in the house that would declare that as well, embrace it? Referring back to the title of the message, I want you to understand that Scripture actually calls our God the God of hope. And one of my favorite verses is Romans 15, 13. And I want you to read it out loud, declare it out loud with me. It's a pronouncement, a blessing, really, but we're going to declare it over ourselves as well. May the God, let me get to it, Romans 15, 13. Romans 15, 13. Are you ready? Say it loud enough for the person sitting across from you to hear you. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me do it again. Now may the God of what? Hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in what? Hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Putting our trust in him. That's the source of our hope. And I believe that as God followers, we are really commissioned to be hope distributors too. Amen. Not to just be people filled with hope and the power of the Holy Spirit, but to be hope distributors. Rick, I know you'd be here this morning, but I think you gave me this testimony a while back. You heard it, but it so applies to you. This is his testimony in a nutshell, and others of you as well here. I was a dope dealer with no hope, but now I'm a hope dealer with no dope. That relates to so many. I was a dope dealer with no hope, but now I'm a hope dealer with no dope. I love it. Yes. I probably can't say it three times in a row real quickly, but it's I got some other good news. There is no law against dealing hope. Go ahead and do that. There's plenty of opportunities for us to take to deal hope, to distribute hope, to give hope to people in our current culture. The doors are often going to swing wide for us, and maybe it's because the door opens through a simple act of kindness, a word of encouragement to a checker, a word of encouragement to a greeter in a store that's having to tell people all day, put a mask on right now, would you? And you're frustrated. Now, I don't care about that. Well, listen, word of encouragement. Would you encourage all those folks? Some of them loving Jesus and they haven't get cussed out all day. What is the deal? That better not be any of you cussing out. All right, amen. I trust it. Now, look, maybe it's on a phone call. I talked to somebody that customer service people sometimes need encouragement. You know, I got to get this bill cut down or see what I can do. And I talked just a minute to that woman. She said, are you a motivational speaker? I said, I revealed what we do and talked to her about Jesus. And I found out she was a Christian. I think she's in the Jamaica. But we had a good time on the phone. Amen. Hallelujah. God's in Jamaica too. Amen. Well, but I'm saying, let faith in that area of being a hope distributor, let it rise up in you. Even in bleakness and stuff that would go around or tension that would be around, if you can use some more equipping in that area, we've got a class at 9:45 on Sundays that continues. It's called the Joy of Sharing Jesus class. It'll give you some more equipping. This morning, I want to share some things to help us in this area of hope. And the first part of the message, I'm primarily talking to believers, people who have already said yes to Jesus as Lord and Savior. But before we conclude, I want this door of hope to be swung so wide open for each one here, even those that are still on the journey toward relationship with the Lord. Today is, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Can I hear amen in the house? My message this morning, it's really based on three questions. I'll take them one at a time. We'll explore that. Number one, how are we to be stabilized in our hope? Again, twinkle, twinkle, or wish upon a star, won't get it. How do we become stabilized in our hope? We've got to realize who it is that secures our hope. Often when a banker makes a loan, they want someone to be a guarantor or a co-signer perhaps to a note. They want to know who is the security behind this indebtedness if the originator of the loan defaults. See, the stabilizer of our hope, our guarantor, is God. Amen. He's our security, even when circumstances haven't worked out like we felt they should. When our expectations have really defaulted into negatives, God's still the one that stands behind our hope. He's still our security, and he stands behind his word. Hebrews chapter 6, I've got quite a few verses to share this morning. So if you're a note taker, just jot these down as we share them. Hebrews 6 verse 18, these two things cannot change. God cannot lie when he says something, and he cannot lie when he makes an oath. So these two things are a great help to us who have come to God for safety. They encourage us to hold on to the what? Hope that is ours. Hold on to that. Keep the anchor firm. And verse 19, we have this what? Hope as an anchor for the soul. Again, firm and secure, stable. He says, we have this anchor for the soul. The soul, it represents in the New Testament, usually the word translated souls into the English, it represents our feelings, our desires, at a deeper level, even our spiritual breath of life. But let me ask the question here. Is this stability just automatic, or is there some participation needed on our part? It comes from God. But there is some participation. Let me walk on. So I'm not talking about a works-based salvation, but I am talking about us participating with this deposit of hope that God is giving to us and the anchor of hope that he is. There's a call for us to be diligent. Several times in the book of, it's only three chapters long, but 2 Peter, the word diligence in the original language is referred to. Diligent means to put forth effort. Let's look at two verses. One and a half verses. 2 Peter 3 verse 17 says, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of those wicked people and lose your own secure footing or stability, in other words. Verse 18, rather you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. Amen. Let it be is what amen means. So be it. Two things here. He said, guard and keep growing. Listen, guard, at this point, there's some things that we probably just go ahead and need to brace ourselves in. Brace ourselves. Somebody, if I know we're fixing to run into something, I'm probably going to brace. I don't want to lose my secure footing, stability. Guard, though, and keep growing. Guard in the context used here in 2 Peter, it means to guard against wrong teachings. Things that twist the truth of the Word of God. There's a lot of voices in the world, and the voices that don't align with this, we need to shun or reject as far as getting an agreement with. Can I? Amen. See, don't lose your secure footing, but keep growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. So even in these tumultuous times, I want to encourage us today, we still have a stabilizing hope in Jesus. Absolutely. Second question this morning. So what should we do when hopelessness tries to crowd in? What should we do? You notice I didn't say if hopelessness tries to crowd in. I said when. Hallelujah. Okay, can we be real on Sunday mornings? Gotta be. Because it may not even be related to these current upheavals, socially or COVID related or any of that stuff. But maybe it's in some areas that we've even experienced in our past. Has anyone besides me experienced at least some degree of where hopelessness had tried to creep in? My hand was up first, but I see a lot of other hands in the room as well. It may be that feeling that even God can't get me through this crisis. It might be this, you face something, you think, this disappointment is so severe, this setback is so great, or this tragedy that's occurred, and hopelessness just tries to creep into that. Listen, if that's what even you're experiencing now, just don't, I'm just going to say, stop, hit pause, don't throw in the towel, don't give over to hopelessness. Of those who raised their hands a moment ago as having experienced hopelessness being overtaken, hopelessness overtaken us in a situation, how many of you are glad that you didn't quit serving God back then? And you saw that God brought you to the other through the other side of that thing, and maybe you're still in process and you're just finding, I find out that there is a sufficiency of the grace of God for my next step. But it doesn't come often until my next step is there. The grace, I'm talking to believers this morning, the power of God that undergirds us to take, don't quit, don't back up, don't give up on God or in life when hopelessness has tried to crowd in. Here's a guard, though, a warning that I want to really emphasize is be careful about our decisions or actions when it seems that all hope is gone. This is real crucial because people get in a vulnerable place that you're not at maybe normally, but because some things have crowded in and hopelessness has tried to undercut that security, be careful about the decisions that you make, actions that you take during that time. A couple of examples that the Bible just goes ahead and shares. I think if I was God, I'm not. I don't have any misconception that I am. But I'm thinking, I would probably edit some stuff out of the Bible that he just left there. Warts and all. He just, so the great icons of faith, Elijah, the prophet, man of God, incredible miracles, stood in the midst of incredible adversity. But the Bible goes on and records a place when Elijah got in fear. Fear began, and it turned into such a panic, and it turned into a depression. It set him to running for his life from Queen Jezebel. And he went so far as to, his prayer in his run away from that, his prayer was, oh God, just go ahead and kill me. Can I say it's not a place we want to live in, the place we want to dwell in, where our prayer is, God, kill me. But God records in this great prophet, but he was acting out of a place of hopelessness. When he got there, and he, instead of just guarding against decisions and actions, he takes off running. Let me go on. There's another prime example, and again, probably the most common Old Testament prophet name, actually Old and New Testament, but the man named Moses. Anybody remember that fella? Kind of God used him so mightily, but he got to such a place like this of hopelessness or despair as he's leading these rebellious Israelites out of the wilderness, through the wilderness and all of that. Two verses, Numbers 11, verse 14, Moses is praying to God. Or maybe I should say, some of our praying is just complaining to God, isn't it? I'm really not praying, I'm just griping. But Moses said, to God, I can't carry all these people by myself. The load is far too heavy. If this is how you intend to treat me, just go ahead and kill me. I would say he's not at a high point in his life. Would you agree with that? But rather a really low point. One of the things that I appreciate is that God did not oblige either of these prophets, their prayers, their specifics to die during those times of their hopelessness or depression. But since they didn't quit God, God would continue beyond that to use them still mightily. Let me interject something right here. When hopelessness or depression seems to be overtaking you and overwhelming you, do not isolate. That's what was going on. Elijah had gone out isolating himself, heading toward the wilderness, left his servant back here. Now, God, go ahead and kill me. No, no, no. Listen, there are people here who will pray with you, who will partner with you going forward. And we don't have to put a facade or a mask on that says, you know, everything is always hunky-dory. Everything's always great in my life. I'm always on top. How are you today? I'm blessed and highly favored. I get it. But boy, I'm struggling with some stuff. You know what? Sometimes we can be, well, we better be real. Don't isolate. Don't let the enemy do that to you. Never lose track of hell's objective. Don't ignore the devil's end game plan during those dark times that some of you are walking through, even now as I'm speaking. Jesus revealed the devil's game. John 10:10, say it with me. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Let me give since the enemy's three-part strategy contains a desire to kill, I felt particularly impressed that I need to share this word of caution, a word of help. If you struggle with suicidal thoughts, know that God is not the one behind those thoughts. Know that he wants to lift us up out of that pit of hopelessness. Reject that word of the thief. James 4:7, it's not on the screen, but you can jot it down. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist, that word means oppose, come against, withstand, oppose the devil, and he will flee from you. Our part is submitting to God. Our part is resisting the devil in the power of the word and power of God's spirit. And his part is already made up for him. He flees. The word means to vanish from the Greek. If you've spoken words over yourself like, I'm worthless, the world would be better off without me, my family would be better off without me, blah, blah, those things. I'm telling you this morning, stop it. Stop. And today, we're going to take a minute right here. And I want us to just get out of agreement with hell's assignment over any of our lives. Can I hear amen to that? See, right now, let's just repent. Renounce those words. If you've spoken those, some of you, I feel like you've probably done it in the last week. Just repent of it. Nobody has to hear you. It's between you and God, but get out of agreement. Renounce those words. God, that's not what God says about you as his child. Renounce those words of worthlessness, of hopelessness, and those things. Rebuke the spirits behind that. Those spirits that I gave permission to by the words of my own mouth, I reject you now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command you to go from me and receive the forgiveness of God. And Lord, I thank you for hope re-entering. I thank you for hope being restored, that through this time in your presence and your word, hope is coming back. Hope is coming back in and overflowing. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. See, even, and I want to remind you of something I've said before, when the enemy says this thing of driving towards suicidal thoughts and self-destruction, self-harm, and those things, remember God's commandment to us, thou shalt not kill. Literally, for Hebrew, it means thou shalt not commit murder. You can't murder yourself either. That's a prohibition against that. I'm telling you, we reject the plan of the enemy. Don't even crack the door open to him ever again and entertain those things in Jesus' name. With your right hand up, will you say, in Jesus' name, let it be so. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen, God is a restorer of hope today, and we're supposed to be giving that to other people. Is that, we agree on that. Let me share briefly three keys while I'm on this topic. When hopelessness tries to crowd in, letter A, evaluate the focus of our hope. Evaluate what the real focus of our hope is to be. Our make sure that our hope isn't wrongly placed. Because if my hope is in somebody, they may let me down. People will let us down. If your hope is in a church, we won't want to, but we'll probably let you down. Hope is in a preacher, I don't want to, but I'll probably let you down. Maybe it was a hope that was really placed in our own abilities, our own ambitions maybe, our own career, or our own dreams in some way. Can I tell you again, if our hope has been wrongly focused, then today, let God help us hit a reset button, realign back to trusting Him. Jeremiah, the prophet, God spoke through him in chapter 17, verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. I think one translation says, bad things will happen to people who, and then it goes on with that verse. Not putting our misplaced trust and our hearts being turned from the Lord. Verse 7, say it with me, would you mind? But blessed are those who trust in the Lord. May the Lord their hope and confidence. Look at these accompanying blessings from God in verse 8. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. I think one translation says they bear fruit in old age. And to that I say, yes, Lord, still going to be fruitful. I'm going to still, by your power, we're going to bear some fruit. Listen, I'm talking about when hopelessness tries to crowd in, evaluate, does our focus just need to change? Because God wants to help us with that today. Letter B, trust God's process and timing. Both of those things. Trust God's process and timing. Keep yielding to Him. Seeking to obey Him. Keep doing what you know to be the right thing. And trust God with the results. A couple of verses that help explain how the Apostle Paul, he went through so much difficult stuff. One of the, what's called the prison epistles or prison letters, letter that Paul writes from prison, is the book of Philippians. Two verses from there. And just as a place of encouragement to trust God's process and His timing. Paul says in verse 12, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Two words that stand out to me are the words turned out. They actually turned out. Again, it didn't look good. He's from in a Roman cell or dungeon, prison, but he didn't quit. God, when he couldn't understand what was going on, he just walked it on through, didn't abandon ship with God. By the time he writes this, because he's looking back, he said, the things which have happened to me have actually turned out that the gospel is spread to the palace guards. The gospel's gone forth in a place that I didn't sign up to evangelize the prison right here. But I'm here, and it's going to happen. See, wherever you are today, go ahead and let it happen. Let God cause some things to turn out differently than you might have anticipated going in. But he writes on, and he look how he holds on to hope. But he's still in the process as he's holding on to hope. Verse 19, he says, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. It ain't happened yet, but I'm still in the process and the timing of God, and I'm trusting you're praying, believing God, holding on with me. We're going to trust in this with God that it will turn out for my deliverance. Let's hold on and watch how God causes some things to turn out in situations for us. For some things in my life, I'm just kind of wonder how he's going to make this turn out. Wonder how he's going to make it. Just hang on. I'm planning on staying until I see those words, the end. you're on old TV shows, you know, and there's this. Listen, but for the believer, the end isn't really the end. If my end on the earthly existence, that's just the beginning in the eternal realm. Amen. So hold on to God. I shared this with somebody recently, and it's not a scripture, but I believe it aligns with truth as we're holding on to God. I had on a lunchbox that I carried in my years in trucking before becoming full-time in the pastorate, little brass plaque. I can almost see it in my mind's eye right now, and I'd stuck it on there and I hardly ever carried my lunch, but I had a Bible and some back in the day. If anybody, young people, remember what cassette tapes were, you've probably seen them online somewhere. I'm talking about History Channel. But I put those in notes and I sold that stuff. But on the end of that lunchbox, it said, God always gives the best to those who leave the choice to Him. I want to see how it turns out. God always gives the best to those who leave the choice to Him. I'd rather get God's best than my choice. How about you? His choosing works out a whole lot better. The third part of this before I move on. When hopelessness tries to crowd in, let her see, remember and rehearse God's promises. Remember and rehearse God's promises. Jeremiah, again, the prophet, he seems to be the one who penned the book of Lamentations. Not a very long book, but it's written in the midst of an especially hard time. Due to Israel's rebellion against God and judgment has come, set up for a lot of hardships were taking place. But as he's writing this book of laments, it seems like something clicks in him and he intentionally remembers something. Look at what this says in Lamentations 3:21. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have what? Hope. Therefore, in the middle of all my junk, in the middle of this, I'm remembering some things, and therefore I can have hope. Anybody got a memory of what the Lord has already done for you in the past? God has done so many things. And if you've been only walking with Jesus for a short time, you just start going ahead and building your testimony diary. Because God, I suspect He's already revealing things to you. Jeremiah is calling to mind the character of our great God, because he goes on and says in the next verse, verse 22, the steadfast love, the hesed, love, kindness, faithfulness of God, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Man, I'm looking across here and I see testimonies because I see the faithfulness of God. When I've watched how God has carried some in His hand, even in the midst of situation and circumstances that look like, again, unbearable. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. God, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for Your table. A stable character of who You are that we can lean on and depend on. Even in the middle of what our eyes cannot see the end of. And when hopelessness is trying to crowd in, thank You for Your faithfulness, oh God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. As Jeremiah, that thing seemed to click in him right there, and he turns and he says, I call to mind who God is and His faithfulness. Then the next six verses, three different times, here's that word hope again. Hope. Just keep letting it be interjected into us. Hope. Hope. I'm not going to go back and read those. I was recalling a story this week that I'd heard many years ago. I think I've shared it once here, but of the old farmer who decided, I'm just done serving God. Things had gone really awry. Really, I could say hopelessness had crept in. So the story that I'd heard, he goes in and tells his wife, I'm done. I give up on God. I quit. She said, well, you can't quit to me. I'm not the one that brought you on. He said, okay. He went upstairs to the farmhouse, and he's up there a long time. And it's prayer was something like this. God, being the kind of man that I am, I'm gonna quit you. But I need to go ahead and say thank you for some things before I do, because you've been. I remember when my kid was sick, and Lord, you intervened right there, and I remember when the crops were failing another day, and you brought us through, and in some way you sustained. And after about a period of time, and you know, he's still upstairs, his wife's still down in the kitchen. He comes back down, and she said, "Well, did you do it? Do what? Quit God? How can I quit somebody that's been so faithful to me? I can't quit. All we got to do sometimes is recall to mind the faithfulness of our God. Hallelujah. I've got enough stories of the faithfulness of God that I can't quit. He's still causing things to turn out for us, restoring hope. The last thing, how do we become hope distributors? Let me help answer this last question. Number three is, how do we give hope? If we get it ourselves and we walk in this, how do we give it? First thing, I want to tell you that to give hope is more than giving somebody a pep talk. It's more than telling them, get in a mindset of a positive, upbeat mental attitude. It's more than that. No. Understand this. Hope is a person. The Bible says it. 1 Timothy 1 verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the command of God our Savior, and of, say it with me, Christ Jesus our hope. Hope is a person. We first receive and then we give hope by sharing Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And I'm winding down. The airplane is heading toward the runway. I'm just letting you know. It's not dragging something way out. Because God wants to do something beyond words that I speak this morning. Because see, if that's all we get, okay, we got a little Bible lesson. Listen, I'm talking about an encounter with the God of hope that fills us with all joy and peace in trusting Him. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Praise be to God and to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He's given us new birth. That's relationship. Into a living, what? Hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope, not a dead hope. Something that died and I put a memorial marker up for. No, living hope. Drop down to verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your, what? Hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Set your hope fully on His divine influence in our heart, His outworking in our life, the grace of God. Look at what the Bible says about each of us. See, because in our true default spiritual condition is very bleak before we receive the Lord. We realize that. Look at what Ephesians 2 verse 12 says. In those days, we were living apart from Christ. You lived in this world, listen, say it with me, without God and without hope. Those two things go together. If I'm without God, I'm without hope. So if I'm going to be a hope distributor, I got to talk to people about Jesus, who hope is residing in. Look at the last phrase, that without hope. Listen, here's real hope. It's a transcendent hope. And that, in other words, it's not just a hope for my present situation. It's not just a hope in my current circumstance, but there's a hope and a security that transcends this earthly existence as well. And it goes all the way over into eternity. All glory to God. Glory to God. That's how we truly find and we secure purpose. We find our real hope there. Psalms 146, the last verse. Psalms 146, verse 5. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, Israel, whose hope is in the Lord their God. There's our anchor. What if the economy gets worse? My hope is in God. What if the situation turns more bleak than we can see some external markers of? Great is thy faithfulness. What if something else in your more very much in your personal life that it's not working the way I really? Can we take hope back in God? The only way you get it, hope comes in gift form. I can't work myself up to that. I can't some way earn it. It's gift form, the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I want to just give you an invitation for that. If you're here, would you bow your hearts together with me? Lord, I believe that you have, you've desired an incredible encounter with men and women, young people here this morning. And I ask God that by your power, you would accomplish this now. For each one that would be in this room that's outside of a real relationship with you, Jesus, that today would be the day of decision. Choose this day who you'll serve, your word says, who will serve. We choose. So, Lord, let that choice be secure and true today in choosing you. I speak this, guys, over some of you that have walked with Jesus in the past, and yet perhaps the insecurity, perhaps the creeping in of hopelessness and things that didn't work out like we wanted. Maybe those things have all transpired with you and caused you to despair to the point of, I quit. Maybe you never said the words, but your life has started in that quit mode. Today, just the same as that one that's beginning for the first time, you can come home and come to Him. Hallelujah. I'm not going to call you to the front at this point or have you stand or embarrass you or anything, but if you're here today and you said, today I make my decision to come to Christ, give my heart and life to Him for first time or restore, recommit my life, would you just slip your hand up, let me acknowledge it, and put it right back down. Today's the day of new beginnings for some folks. I just want to acknowledge that. If you're here in this room, great is your faithfulness, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're here and the struggle has been in those areas of despair to the point of hopelessness, even the enemy attacked there, depression, because today we reject that. We see there's a spirit behind it. As well, we reject that spirit. Struggle with those areas. Would you slip your hand up, put them right back down. Let me just acknowledge through this room. In the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you that you are the God of hope. And today, a fresh filling of your hope, joy and peace, your word says, in putting our trust in you, the God of hope. Or for those even not having raised their hands, but it said, I know there's a stirring inside of me to come get right in relationship with God. Lord, let your word be settling there. And the response be a heart response that says, I surrender. I'm through running. Now I turn and I run only to you. I put my faith and trust in you, Jesus, what you did on the cross, your death, your resurrection. I'll open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in and I give you authority there. Forgive me and cleanse me from every sin. I choose to follow you by your spirit and power at work in me as I give you access now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I shared this yesterday, one of the precious ladies in church, we had the funeral service. The joy was that about 4.5 years ago, she and her husband walked into this place. And because of a huge wake-up call from God, it's a brick wall that they sort of ran into in their lives. And listen, God put stop signs up in our life. Do y'all believe that? Anybody hit any of those brick walls? God uses that. Now, what we do at the brick wall is up to us, but they decided to show up. I don't think they'd ever maybe set foot in here before, but some way, right back there, I think in that middle area, gave their hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus. As he, his testimony is, I shared it Wednesday real quickly. He said, I was such a meth addict, and he said I loved it. He wasn't hating what he was doing. He was in bondage to that. But he said that night, that day when they prayed to receive the Lord, he said that addiction broke. I have never desired it again. I said it Wednesday, but it doesn't happen for everybody. Sometimes there's a process, and you're just pushed back, and so whichever way that it's working. But I'm telling you, there's still just one hope. Right there. So this transcendent hope that I just talked about a few moments ago, that transcendent hope is what carried that husband through that cemetery, through that experience of his wife's passing just very suddenly in this past week. But because the hope that we have goes beyond whatever politically happens, economically happens, physically happens. Our hope transcends that because our hope is secure in Him. Can I hear one more amen? I want you to stand up with us because I believe in this last song that there is a message of incredible victory. And I don't know where you may be in all those positions in life, but I'm going to tell you there's one solution. I don't know all the solutions. I know the one solution. And that's letting Jesus push us on, carry us on, lead us on in victory. So y'all join with this team in this last song. We're going to worship. But whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do in you, would you give Him permission to do it? Now, I'm going to tell you, this front is still open. And I do want a few, I want some prayer partners. If you feel comfortable, there's going to be some folks up here to pray with you. If you want somebody to pray with you, you're comfortable with that distance, or you can wear a mask, or some of these will be, or some won't be, and whatever you're comfortable with. But let's let God declare His word over us. We're going to sing it out. No weapon.